Welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast. This is episode 72. And as always, I have Artur Sozinhos here with me in the usual monthly marathon of bad podcasts. And before Artur
falls asleep,
we need to move on. Anyway, how are you doing, Artur? Still awake?
Yeah. You're pinging me periodically, so I won't fall asleep, right?
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, we are here to talk about what's JavaScript. And we are going to start about this with several topics of interest. Let me show you here. First, we're going to talk about the recently created JavaScript Foundation, as well mentioned that it somehow was sponsored or promoted by the Linux Foundation. Then we have an article about the JavaScript internalization API that was defined some time ago, but I think not all browsers implemented it, so now WebKit is also implementing it. Then we have an article just telling that there has been an effort to optimize the memory consumption of WebKit, V8 engine. This is probably to address complaints about excessive memory usage by Chrome and such. Then we have an article about a new package manager called Yarn by Facebook, which kind of competes with NPM. They probably have their reasons. Then we have an information here about Tesseract.js, which is the OCR engine, which again was an MScript import to JavaScript. And it works well. Then we have an article just talking about the implementation of async and await in Node.js 7. Then we have an article about a library called iperform.js that implements the HTML5 constraint API. Then we have a few articles talking about Vue 2.0. And then we have a mention to a library that is able to truncate text within text elements that are limited in size. And finally, we have a mention to a jQuery plugin that can animate page titles and icons, I think. Anyway, so going back to the beginning, let's start talking about this JavaScript Foundation. I thought there was already some kind of JavaScript Foundation. After all, that
There
is a number. I just trying to remember 4 or 6 2 or something.
Or 2015. Yeah, basically, there was a foundation. There was a Node.js foundation. We combined Node.js and IO.js together, made them merge together and have all the new features, new in Node.js and stuff like that. So this is some other foundation, I guess.
Yeah. So what would be the purpose of another foundation? I know that Linux Foundation unites JavaScript community for open web development. So this is sort of sponsored by Linux Foundation.
Yep, exactly. So about the purpose of it, I don't think there would be much more purpose than organizing some stuff and doing some standardization, maybe. For now, I think NPM does a great job, and Node.js Foundation managed to merge to avoid the crisis of having IOJS and Node.js separately, managed to merge them. So I don't see exactly the reason for another foundation here, but maybe the reason, maybe there should be more standardization on browser side, and maybe this foundation will be handling it more.
Yeah. Well, maybe the answer is in this article, but I could not read it fully. So the article will be in the show notes, so whoever wants to take a look to understand why this is important for the JavaScript community can go ahead and read it. The next article that we're going to comment is about the JavaScript Internationalization API. It was defined some time ago, but browsers still have to implement it. So this is just news that WebKit is implementing this API. And I guess it implements things like formatting.
Yeah, basically, as you see from the examples, the time and the date formats are different in different countries.
Yeah. So it is good to know, but I don't know, whoever needs to internationalize their applications probably not using this API because they have to have some solution before.
Yeah, well, the date methods to OKL string today, OKL date string are nice because you won't have to worry about it anymore. But I know that we are using Moment.js, and even there we have to patch up some things for Asia countries with their specifics. Stuff like that, so it's complicated overly, and if this would work out of the box, it would be great.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, moving on to the next topic, we there is a mention here in the blog of V8 project that they are working on optimizing the memory consumption, as you know, V8 engine. Not only power as Node.js, but also
the browser.
Chrome browser. I don't know if this is related with the complaint that Chrome is spending more and more memory.
maybe, yeah. So from the article,
No, go ahead.
So from the article, basically, they mentioned that what they did is they opened some most popular websites and performed some simple actions like click on the first link, went ideal new web page is loaded, scroll down a few pages, click back button, and recorded the memory consumption of the whole process, and they visualized it so they can see where memory is spent, how it decreased, and when it's reduced, like freed. And they came to couple of conclusions, like memory reduction, so there are zones. So some memory are divided in zones which could be easily and fastly allocated and bulk deallocated. And one of the usage for it, I think, was for, what was it, when downloading scripts in background while parsing the page, it was not deallocating correctly, I think, or something like that, so they reduced it. The other was heap size reduction. Basically, they there are differences between desktop browsers with lots of memory that can do garbage collection rarer than devices with low memory, like mobile devices. So they had some changed some configurations based on device specific and stuff like that. So lots of optimization similarly by just simply viewing popular websites, how are they behaving, visualizing the memory they consume. And yeah, maybe it is related to the Chrome memory consumption too much, because that's something that's really happening. So.
Yeah, and well, personally, I don't have much complaints about Chrome, I use Chrome, but sometimes I listen to people that say, "Oh, Chrome is killing my memory and crashing." I have like 8 gigs of RAM in this machine, and I have well, maybe 15 tabs open. Some are even pinned, so they probably were open for a long time. And well, I don't know. Personally, I don't have much problems with memory usage, but V8 is not just for Chrome. I don't know. Do you have complaints about memory usage of Chrome?
That's the most probably consuming application in my laptop. Yeah.
But do you use other applications besides Chrome?
No. I don't have a complaint like it freezes or something like that. It's probably it manages itself. It's like MongoDB. It's consumes all the memory it can without even needing it for now, but you just know it can, so reserves it maybe or something like that.
Is it like Java? Java like pre-allocates memory to pretend that it's a fast language.
But yeah, I had no specific problem like something freezing or stuff like that, nothing like that.
Yeah, well, for me, I don't see a problem. But the latest version, which is, I only use stable versions because life is hard enough with stable versions, let alone unstable versions. And recently it was crashing, but it recovers the Windows. So in worst case, I may have lost something that I was editing. It rarely happens, but I don't know if it is memory related. Anyway, if somebody has to complain, probably has a different setup. I'm using Linux. You are using Windows or something else?
Windows, yeah. Windows 10.
Yeah. Okay. So next topic, we're going to talk about Yarn. Yarn is not a nice sounding name.
Like a bowl of yarn?
No, like yarn. Yarn.
Like boring, yeah.
Yeah, boring or I'm sleepy. Anyway, seriously, this is a package manager or JavaScript from.
That was exactly my reaction when I read it.
I
don't think anyone could at this point compete with NPM as a package manager for JavaScript, both browser side or server side. Even Bower, I think, diminished kind of or disappeared for now. I don't know if it's still probably still working, but it's not so popular as it would be or used to be. But after reading more about it, it seems that Facebook developers had lots of problems while using NPM registry, installing on some sandbox environments without internet connections or some security problems, or they all described it in this article. Honestly, I haven't encountered any of such problems yet, but probably our code base is not as large. Mm-hmm. As Facebook obviously, so we are not there yet maybe. And so they decided to patch up things with NPM, and it was too hard to do that. So what they did, they created their own new package manager. But as far as I understood from the article, I don't know, again, not tried it, but as far as it's understood from the article, it's compatible with NPM, so you are reusing the same thing.
Mm.
So it's not so like a complete browser registry.
I'm just noticing here an animation that shows a log file. Did NPM also have log files, like locking the version that you are using?
I guess, yeah. It should have, I don't know.
Because there was that problem of that developer that removed the package from NPM and caused havoc. The JavaScript world.
Unless Facebook implements some kind of cache, they could not solve the problem too.
Well, they don't cache, they just don't allow to remove, and that's it. Now, the other comment that I wanted to mention is that Yarn gets installed by NPM.
Well, yeah. Obviously, they don't want to replace NPM. They want to provide enhanced version for it.
They also want to kick the ball, but they don't want to be the winners. They like to kick balls. Okay. Well, I really did not follow all the details of why this is interesting, but they probably have their reasons. The next article is just to mention that there is now a Tesseract .js, which is basically a mscripten port of Tesseract OCR. And according to the examples that I tried somewhere, I'm not sure if the link is this one, but okay, I mean the demo, not the...
The demo is at the top. At the top.
The demo is at the top.
No, a little, yeah.
Okay. So you can go here and English demo. Let's not complicate things because I don't understand Chinese or Russian, which are the other demos. So it seems first there is a training phase as usual, and it recognizes some text.
Can you select the text?
Do I have to select the text?
I don't know. Can you? No, the other one, the recognized one.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's normal text, yes. So.
I think it did more than this. I don't remember. I thought I see a demo that showed training phase and zipping. Okay. So he loaded some training data. Training data, I don't know if they provide the files or the library can also generate those files from non-text.
Yeah, I have no idea. Probably, maybe as a dependency they provide it, because after you install it, you can simply use it as recognize, provide image, and have some callbacks, and that's it. So no training mentioned here.
I wonder if this works well with different fonts. It is downloaded some Chinese. Chinese.
Huge.
Let's try Russian. No, it didn't work. He still wants to go to the. Drop. You can drop. Key scene train that. It's probably Chinese. It's Chinese.
Yeah.
So let's wait and see the Chinese. So Chinese thing. Download. Oh, unzipping, downloading, initializing the API, and. But how do we know if it is right? Let's try to compare the symbols. Oh, it's square.
Yeah, it's a house. It's a T. It's some guy that he likes. It looks similar. It looks similar. Yeah.
Who is going to tell otherwise? Oh, now he's trying to the Russian. Okay, the Russian. I have to switch here, I guess. Recognize the text.
Yep.
Okay.
It's correct.
I'm not going to say it because I don't read Russian at all.
I do.
Anyway, you read Russian?
Yeah.
Is it hard?
I know Russian? Yeah, I guess. I know. I've been speaking in streams since my childhood, so it's hard to say.
So is it the same language of your country or is it different?
No, it's Latvian in my country, completely different from the language origination, completely different.
But do they use also these characters?
No, Latin have more Latin characters. These are Cyrillic characters.
Oh. I thought German was hard.
Yes, I tried learning German. I didn't manage it to do that yet.
Oh, it has too many rules. The Germans are crazy. It's like
In Russian, for every rule, you have an exception. So it's even more interesting.
It seems like the Brazilian laws. There are more exceptions than rules. You have the law, but then you have to learn the exceptions too.
It's not fun being a lawyer in Brazil, right?
No. Unfortunately, Portuguese only uses Latin characters. So it's not that complicated, but could be. Okay. Next, we are talking about the sync and await commands that are now implemented in Node.js. This is your field.
Finally, no transpilers, no Babylon, no anything that you have used. It's simply in the Node.js.
Are you using
also, it's in a, no. It's unstable. It's nightly built, and it's something you can play with, but nothing more. I think the stable version will be in April. I think they promised it would be in April somewhere, but and still we are after that. We are even like waiting some time before changing to that Node version. So
I thought the PHP world was complicated, but I was wrong. PHP world is much simpler. I guess that's probably why.
Why they need two foundations,
Exactly. I guess that there is no PHP foundation.
Yeah, I guess not. Always end.
Better not to give them ideas. There is Fig. Fig is framework interoperability group. And they try to define standards, but some are well adopted, other not so much. And they start defining APIs, interfaces, and there is some adoption. And that is a good thing. But other than that, I don't think there is any PHP foundation. But there is Node.js foundation. And is there a Node.js stable version? Or is it a myth?
No, there is, currently, we switched to the 6 version, but so it's 6 is the LTS and stable.
Okay. So you just spend a week fixing the test?
No, or fixing actually, the code? I don't know. Since the 4th, 5th, 6th version, transition is quite smooth, no backwards, broken compatibility, nothing. It's like change the number and that's all. And we're ready to go.
So you are not yet using this async and await, right?
Yeah, that's probably why we don't have problems. Yeah, we don't.
I was hoping that async and await would make it less problematic than using all those callbacks. Okay. Yeah. Go and figure why people like callbacks. Anyway. The next topic is about something simpler, which is an implementation of the HTML5 constraint API. Actually, I didn't know there was such an API.
Because nobody implemented it yet.
If there is an API, why didn't browsers implement it? Or browsers are not very concerned? Because nowadays, people use libraries to validate their forms, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why people need that. Built-in browser. Actually, my first package that started PHP classes was precisely a package that would perform server-side and browser-side validation by generating JavaScript. So I don't have to generate any JavaScript for the forms. You just define the form and this. I want this validation. Validates.
How do you control UI, how it represents the errors?
You mean error messages and such?
Yes, how do you, like, some people like asterisks near the form, some people like text or textual information.
You mean displaying the errors or defining
yeah,
what?
Yeah, displaying in the form.
Personally, I use alerts. Alerts. Some people do not like them, but because they probably won't. But there is also AJAX support to perform server-side validation. You can send whatever messages. Well, good or bad, it is something that I've used like since the beginning of times. I mean, PHP times. And since it generates JavaScript, if it is not, if it was somehow not good enough for me, it was evolved to be good enough. So until these days, I'll do one or another maintenance update because I wanted to do something else on top of what already exists, but it already does so much that I do not, I'm not concerned with these APIs. Because I already have a solution way before this existed.
Yeah, but
anyway, yeah.
But going back to this one, I just want to say that it's awesome for the one who created it. It's awesome that it's, as I understood, completely HTML5 API compatible. So while usually some browsers implement it, some browsers don't, some browsers implement other parts of it, some interpret it incorrectly and stuff like that, and we are in this browser diversification hell where you can try to make cross-browser code work and it just doesn't work or stuff like that. So using this library straight from the beginning would simple all the things, and as I understood, if something is available, they reuse it. If not, they use polyfills or they can evolve at least that, like that. And I think every HTML5 API should have a library like that, like this behind it. That would simplify things.
Well, that was supposed to be implemented by the browsers, but if they define this API, is this API new or something? Probably.
I don't know when the standard came out. But I have no idea.
Last updated 17 November, so it was like today, but when did it start? I don't know. This is HTML5 specification. It is not like something part of something else.
Yeah.
So we don't know when this part was added. Anyway, moving on to the next topic. Now I'm going to just comment briefly something that got my attention because recently some JavaScript packages about Vue 2.0 started appearing in JS classes. And I was wondering, what does this package, this Vue library as distinct to attract people, but I could not reach a conclusion. It is a library. It compares to, they are comparing to React and Angular, but other than that, I don't know what would be the big advantage, big difference. Do you have any idea or art?
No. I'm usually, with all what happening in JavaScript and all the new libraries, I'm usually quite skeptical, really skeptical before starting something new. I usually start using something new when it gets out of the trend, when it's not cool to use it anymore, then I really start using it.
So you are a laggard. You arrive late to the party.
Yes, maybe.
I don't know, it's safer. If there are any backwards compatibility changes, they already have passed over that. So I don't know what is the purpose of, what is so good about it? Well, why is it different from Angular or React? It seems more of the same, but okay. That is something that people may want to study to figure if it has some sense. Anyway, moving on to the next topic, we are going just to comment briefly about a library for truncating text. And it does not have dependencies on plugins of other languages. So.
And it does not cut the text too, I think. That was one of the mentioned pluses, because I think that would hurt search engine optimization of the page if it would really cut on the text, right? So it just hides it with a like a div probably element or something like that.
Yeah, and you can let's see.
For CSS.
It doesn't allow me to change the size. So it limits the height, so I can see it working. Okay, I think there may be some good uses for this. Well, it does not exactly this, but I was trying to implement a table the other day that would fix the first column. And if the rest of the columns did not fit, it will show a scroll bar.
Mm-hmm.
There are some tricks in CSS, but for some reason it didn't work when the container element has a margin, because it hangs on the margin. So the solution with pure CSS did not fit. And I think there is a CSS attribute to also perform this truncation or not.
I think you have to redefine box sizing with CSS so it would include margin a little. That should have worked. But no, it's just a hack.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, moving on to the next package we are going to comment on. Oh, there was also a demo in CodePen here. It's this back to the normal.
It's the same demo.
It's the same thing. It could at least allow me to change the container so I could see if it adjusts in real time. Anyway, moving on to the next topic, which is a library that does something very simple, but it may help to get attention to something in your page, which is to animate some titles. So it can make the title scroll, but I think it could also...
Yeah, if you switch the tab, and it would change the icon, I think. Just switch to previous tab, for example. Switch to shave, yeah.
Oh, I see.
No, it's animated. It has a miss you. I missed you function, something like that. So if you leave, it shows that it misses you and wants you to get back.
The things that they make up. But this is a jQuery plugin. It's not like that, a library that would work standalone.
Nice touch to the website.
I wonder why they need jQuery, but because it says because the title. jQuery usually you apply to elements, put a selector there, and in case of the title, it's not like you have multiple titles, so.
It should not require it. Maybe it's a trend. You get more exposure if it's a jQuery plugin than the regular package.
Yeah, because people think jQuery is a different thing from JavaScript.
Completely different language. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award nominees and winners. We are going to start from the JavaScript ones of August, I think, right?
Yep.
Let me share the screen here, innovation one. I guess this is the one. We had like five nominees in August. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
So the first one I chose is a really interesting package. I really liked it. Sorry, I just turn off the sound here because it's doubling in my ears. Okay, so it's really interesting package, and when I saw it, I thought, what a nice idea! How someone didn't came up with it before. So it's called Advanced jQuery Scroll Progress Tracker, and it was developed by David Whitworth from Germany. And basically, yeah, it's a progress bar which tracks your page scroll progress. So how far are you to the end of the page? There were screenshots, yeah, so you could see something like that. So if you are having some installation or setup documentation, then while you're scrolling it, you can show progress bar how much is left, which would basically indicate how long time would it take and how much, maybe not specifically steps, but you know, reading material. So I think really nice idea. And as you see, there can be some points like headers maybe, and it's also mobile friendly, as we see.
Yes, that's nice.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, how come nobody before did something? At least I haven't heard about anything similarly. So really nice idea. Really liked it. And
yeah, because you can see the position of the sections, not just a scroll bar that doesn't say exactly where you are in the page.
Yeah, it's configurable, it seems. Yeah, and you can provide numbering or to use titles or not, or one by one way and stuff like that. And David got to 1 month with Coding TV Account Pro subscription. Oh, that's the first one.
Yeah, I think. Well, I hope he's enjoying, because I notified him and that live coding people would be in touch to provide his subscription, but I didn't get any feedback, so I hope all is well. Okay, so next one.
Next one is JavaScript cryptographic chat. So it's basically an Ajax based chat with, I think, PHP server backend. And what it does is, when you're creating a room, it agrees on password between all the peers, and all the messages that are sent to this server are encrypted. So it's like a great protection for a chat if you need something like that. And it was developed by Martin Letter from United Kingdom. No demos or screenshots. And Martin got one ebook of choice by PACT for this package.
Yeah.
So you can see the encryption is quite okay. SHA encryption, local cipher. So yeah, if you need something functionality similar, you can use this package. And the next package is PHL server. HTTP server is auto configuration based on Node.js. So yeah, as you know, Node.js provides a web-based server internally, but it's really raw and configurable, and I think this is some kind of more of a wrapper around it, providing easier configuration. As you see, it also deals with some common content types, applying the headers and dealing with not found pages and stuff like that. So something that would, as you see, allow you to run it easier. And it was developed by Pierre-Henri Soria from, we don't know from where. How is it possible that you know from where?
Well, I guess he's from France, but he doesn't want to tell.
You guess, okay. No price, I think, for this one.
Yeah, well, he didn't answer one. They didn't test. Sometimes people are just having fun just for participating, and prices are not the necessary for them, which is okay, as long as keep sending great packages like this one. So on my behalf, I will ask to also comment on a few packages. Once I can share the screen here. And that would be, I think, this one. No, OBS, no. Maybe, no. I guess this is the one, right? Can you see it?
Yep, yep.
So no. The next package that I want to comment is this one, JavaScript Binary Search Tree, which is an implementation of binary search in JavaScript, so array. And it will search for the element if it is there. And this assumes that the array is somehow sorted. So to keep it sorted, you need to also be able to insert the values, and they also become sorted. So this package also can do the insertion of a new element in the binary tree, and this way it becomes faster to search for elements, because you don't have to check all the positions. Okay, this package was developed by Gustavo Avila, and he is from Brazil. And I don't know if he already replied about his price, but at least I think he's already notified. And the last package that I wanted to comment is V3 Scene SDK, basically a package that can send AJAX requests to a warehouse of objects that is running on the server. And it can perform all the basic CRUD operations, create, read, update, and delete. So I think this requires some thing on the server side. Or not, I'm not sure. Let's take a look. Here, the example shows you better. Okay, it sends requests and calls callbacks. So we can perform the usual object searching. But I'm not sure if this communicates. Here it is. You can communicate with a server that is already storing the database. So this package was developed by Jorge Pons from Mexico. And now let's take a look at the rankings of the innovation world in JavaScript so far. So far, Endestoth is still leading with 6 points, packages in 22 points. Dante Francois is following from France with 5 packages in 18 points. Everton de Rosa with 2 packages in 7 points in third place. Then Juan Jose from Spain with 1 package and 6 points. Then there is Martin Latter from UK, Edvaldo Zimonek from Brazil, and Carl Holtz from Canada are tied with 1 package and 5 points. Then David Whitworth with 1 package and 4 points. Then Fall is tied with Pierre-Henri Soria with 1 package 4 points. Then finally, Kiyoan is in that 10th place with 1 package in 3 points. By countries, things are more or less the same, not a great variation, just Hungary is ahead with 6 packages and 32 points, mostly by due to packages from Anders Toth. And then France with 6 points and 6 packages and 21 points. Brazil with 4 packages and 14 points. Germany with 2 packages and 7 points. It's tied with Mexico, but Mexico has 4 packages. Spain with 1 package and 6 points. United Kingdom with 1 package and 5 points. It's tied with Canada in 7th place. Then there is a ghost country here because this is a bug. When there some, this is due to points of Pierre Soria that does not identify his country. But then it is is tied with Armenia and with 2 packages and 4 points. So this is for the JavaScript Innovation Award. Well, with this, we practically ended the lately in JavaScript podcast. I would like to thank you, Arthurs, again for yet another monthly marathon of podcasts. Say hi to the people that have been watching on live coding.
Hello, people.
There. Some of them are asking if we are working together on something.
No,
kind of, but not exactly. we're just commenting. I think that's new people that were not aware of these podcasts. So I just comment here that. Okay, so with this, we reached the end. Thank you again, Arthurs. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.